Please stand as we hear the gospel for this Trinity Sunday. The words of God found on page 1083 in your pew Bible, John 16, verses 12 through 15. Words spoken by Jesus in the upper room the night before he died. Words to his disciples. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. These are God's words. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, do you suffer from pervectophobia? It's a long word. Didn't want to fit on the screen, so I left it, pervectophobia. I didn't know that word either until I made it up. It's actually Latin that is translatable. It means fear of the drive-thru, or more particularly, fear of the drive-thru menu. I've got to say, Culver's does it for me. You're one car away and you can't read it. And then all of a sudden, it's your turn. You pull up, and that is 5 feet away. And you're looking, you're scrambling, and all of a sudden, in seconds, the voice comes. Welcome to Culver's. May I help you? And this brain, information overload, danger, warning, tilt, tilt. Can I have a minute? Well, you scan the board as fast as you can. I wanted something besides a Butterburger this time around. I wanted a concrete mixer, but wow, look at all that. And so me, I pull out the ace up my sleeve. I'll take a Butterburger deluxe meal, please, and a two-scoop flavor of the day. And I eat the same thing every time except for the flavor of the day. Unless my wife is along, because my wife, well, if you know my wife, she is fearless. And she'll say, honey, why don't we order something different? How about a chicken cashew salad? And I'll say, I'll take a chicken cashew salad, please. Oh, make it two of them. Really? Did I just order that? A salad at a burger joint? Wow. Pervectophobia. Now imagine if you had been raised or not raised in a Christian home. And you had no idea the identity of God. And for some of us, that was true. Could you imagine feeling the nudge of the Creator? You just knew that he was there. But wow, the menu was intimidating. Too many choices. How do I know which one is right? How do I know what is true? I'll just pull the old ace out of my sleeve. I'll sleep in. Then I'll get up and I'll go and I'll just ride my bike in the Kettle Moraine, because that's what I do. But then there's this friend at work who keeps on referencing Jesus. You play it coy, especially when he invites you to his church. Nah, I'm good. I just ride my bike. But there's something about his life that intrigues you, that pulls at you. And you find yourself trying the next drive-thru. And then, whoa, again, too many choices. Why can't those Christians just get their act together and decide on what is true? Is God really that confusing? I'll just ride my bike. Which church? I would say that for me, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3, Jesus, me, and STP, St. Paul's. That easy. How about you? Well, the night before he suffered for the sin of the world, Jesus was sharing his heart with his disciples. But the time came where he had to go radio silence on things of the heart. He said to them, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, information overload. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. My friends, Jesus promised truth, didn't he? Truth that we can know. And everyone, in theory, wants truth, capital T truth, absolute truth, right? If Google Maps was wrong 4 out of 10 times, we'd delete the app. Some of us have been complaining about the weather this morning already, and then we look at our weather app, and we make comments about, boy, I wonder how much they pay those meteorologists to be so wrong, right, Aiden? Yeah, to be so wrong. But in theory, we want the truth, and Jesus says we can have it, capital T truth. Earlier that same evening, he had said this: the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you, truth, according to Jesus Christ. And after he rose from the dead, but before he ascended into heaven, Jesus told this to his followers: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Remember Pentecost? What looked like tongues of fire on their heads, the sound of a rushing wind from heaven, and the disciples sharing the truth about Jesus in languages not their own. Jesus had promised it, the Holy Spirit and truth. So where does one find that truth, the truth of God, today? Well, Christians run to the Holy Scriptures of God, the message of God. The Bible says that the Spirit of truth, who came with power on Pentecost, also gave us this book, as surely as he enabled the disciples to speak in languages not their own. I encourage you to do a deep dive into that in Acts chapter 2 later on today and think through the Pentecost of our God. Peter, the lead prophet at Pentecost, later in his ministry wrote these words. He said, prophecy, preaching. Prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's why Christians run to the Bible, for there is the Spirit of truth. But there's another reason that Christians run to the Bible. It's because we sense that it is true. The Bible declares to us that the guilt that we feel is real and deserved, and that message resonates deep within us. The Bible declares that the sin that we do hurts ourselves and others, and that resonates deep within us. It's true. And the Bible declares that the sin and the guilt, which is ours, most importantly, is taken away, removed, cleansed, free of charge in the blood of Jesus Christ. An unbelievable message, isn't it? Unless you believe it. And that, too, is a gift of the Spirit of truth. Paul told the Thessalonians, from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit through belief in the truth. Now, though all who may not believe these messages of the Bible, the world always reacts. Many in faith grab hold, many in unbelief reject, not wanting God's words to be true. Think how Jesus freaked out Pontius Pilate on Good Friday. He troubled Pilate's spirit when he said this to Pilate: you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate could not shake his words. You see, Jesus Christ divides this world because he claims to be the truth of the one true God. And there is power in the message of Jesus as the world's Savior, because in that message is the Spirit of truth himself. Now, what does our world do with truth that it deems absolute? Well, I worked for a farmer for 3 years when I was in high school. An absolute truth almost got me fired. Wally Ebert, a no-nonsense farmer, a no-nonsense guy. We were cutting brush, and the chainsaw was running. And we were out of gasoline in the can. Wally was, as always, smoking a cigarette as he watched us cut. And I couldn't get his attention because the chainsaw was so loud, so I held the gas can up in front of his face. Wally, should I get some more gas? And in that moment, my world exploded, not because of the gas can, but because of the anger of a farmer who saw an early death coming. He jumped away from the gas can, he threw his cigarette on the ground, and he called on the name of his God, and he gave me a butt-chewing I have not forgotten to this day. Absolute truths cause the world to act. Rather like my friend Jeff. Just recently, he and I had lunch together, and he told me his story of absolute truth impacting his life. 3 weeks ago, his 19-year-old daughter married a 20-year-old young man, a paratrooper in the U.S. Army, about to be deployed. Both Christian people from the same Christian high school. And Jeff would say of his daughter, she's an old soul, 19 going on 30. So wisdom reigned dad in when the phone rang and the young man asked for his daughter's hand in marriage. Jeff began, "I could give you 50 reasons why you are too young, both of you, to get married. But I get it. But there is one question her mom and I have for you," and his eyes filled with tears in the retelling of the story. He said, "We want our daughter in heaven. Are you that guy?" Absolute truth. Hell is real. Heaven is real. And so is Jesus. And Jesus promised us truth. What are we to do with it? Well, what did the triune God do with capital T, truth? He foresaw our fall into sin, our rebellion and death, but he did not abort and pull the plug. No, the Father owned our truth, and then he planned and wrote his own truth. He has owned our salvation for a long, long time. Think of what Paul writes to the Ephesians, first chapter. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, which he purposed in Christ, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." My friends, this is authentic relationship that you and I have with the triune God. He is the author of truth, truth planned and written based upon his love. And he wants to win our hearts through his truth, which is why Jesus said, "The Spirit of truth will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father, the plan is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known." Did you pick up on the triune God's focus on brand alignment? Brand alignment is key, and each person of the triune God has his role. Think about it. Nike is good at brand alignment. The swoosh and nothing but the swoosh, so help me Nike. The National Football League is the king of brand alignment and marketing. How else would you get grown men to wear those color rush uniforms on Thursday night? Every Culver's looks the same. Every menu is the same. Brand alignment, it helps some of us with pervectophobia, fear of the drive-through menu. So God the Father authored the plan of salvation. God the Son carried out the plan of salvation. God the Holy Spirit takes care of brand alignment with the plan of salvation by giving us God's truth. How is the world saved? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. But why is God so focused on brand alignment? Well, what are some truths about dominoes that can help us understand God's concern for his truth? If your goal is beauty, symmetry, and motion, every truth of the Bible must be allowed to stand exactly as the artist placed it. It is then that the plan of the Almighty can flow beautifully and fill the lives of his people. At the same time, if someone shifts a truth of the artist, changing the word of God, God says that that impacts his message and it impacts the blessing of his people. Which is why Jesus commands us in Matthew 28, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. You know, Wally Ebert knew enough about gasoline to know you can't cheat. My friend Jeff knows enough about temptation and Satan to be an advocate for his daughter's future. Are you the guy to usher our daughter to heaven's gate? And the triune God saw the hurt of sin and death and loved us enough to own every domino in the plan of salvation and to promise us the truth with the directions for life to the full that is only found in Jesus Christ, the world's Savior. Karen will be a member soon at St. Paul. That's not her, but I'll give you a hint. When her picture appears in the slides, Karen with an I-N. Karen has been a Christian since she was a little girl. Reading her Bible, loving her Jesus, she journeyed from church to church to church on two different continents. Reading her word, his word, well, she did not always hear it from his pulpit. And so she has been praying for something like four decades. God, help me find my church. And then one day she visited St. Paul's. And she would tell you herself, I finally knew I had found my home. She sat through our new member class following the promise with passages alive in her mind. She challenged the word, she challenged the presenter. And she heard me say, your job is to be in the Word of God and to test St. Paul's. Are we lying about our Jesus or are we presenting him faithfully with truth? If we are faithful, then St. Paul's might be your church. As long as we stand in Jesus and always as we stand or share the words of Jesus. You see, to know the triune God is to do a deep dive into his word. Personal Bible study takes away the fear and the panic of the menu. Personal Bible study prepares us to order well. God bless you today. I am ready to take your order whenever you are ready. And God's people, rich in the word, with peace and a smile on their face, say, amen, I'm ready to order. Jesus and me equals my church. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus.